Blog Talk Radio.
All of you on this blessed Tuesday. Once again, this is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, has given me the opportunity once again to share the very Word of God again with you. I thank God for all of you that are listening to this broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. Once again, I am grateful for another blessed day in the Lord, another golden opportunity to take this journey to the Word of God. I thank God for this opportunity to present His Word to you. So wherever you're listening to me at on this broadcast, I ask that you would join in with me in prayer as we petition the Lord once again for His Spirit to be with us. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You. In the name of Thy precious Son, Jesus Christ, glory to the living God. We thank You, Lord God, for another blessed day You have blessed us to see, but another opportunity for us to take this journey into the Word. Father, we need Your Spirit to be with us as we take this journey, for without Your Spirit, we can do nothing. So therefore, Lord, we petition You for revelation and understanding of Your Word through the Spirit of the living God. Lord, we so desperately need it, and we ask that You would see our need, because You are a need fulfiller, and we are grateful. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and Father, we thank You. Amen. And amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for another blessed day in the Lord and another opportunity to go into the Word of God. As of late, I've been going into the messages with you. Went into the first message with you. And today, the Lord say the same. We're going to go into what is called the second message, the second time that Jesus sent Elijah, as He promised in Matthew 17 and in Malachi chapter 4, Acts chapter 3, that prophet that He mentioned in Deuteronomy 18:18. Because Jesus is a keeper of His word. Amen. He said that His word would never return unto Him void. And we must hold on to that, that He is faithful to His word. And so we're going to start today and looking at what is called the second message, the second time that Jesus sent the Elijah with words from Him to mankind, or today that will be up the bride. Once again, before I go into this message, I want to say to those of you that's listening, who have not received this word yet, that some of you is going to hear as I give this message. Won't cover it all today, but as I give it, some of you are going to get an instant witness from the Holy Ghost, and I thank God for that. And then there are some of you who may listen, and you're not getting anything. And you may say, well, brother, I hear you, but I haven't got a witness from it. I can't say yea or nay to it. I am going to seek the Lord about it. And to that I understand. And I say hallelujah to Jesus. And then there will be others who simply would dismiss the whole thing and say, this is crazy. It is evil. It's the devil. It's not of God. And to Jesus, I still say hallelujah. because my job is just to give the message, not to never commission me to force anybody to hear or to force them to accept it or to bug them or get on their nerves about it. He just told me to give the word and let you choose. Amen. And so this message was sent out March the 4th, 1927. And as I said to you, those who have listened to me to the podcast before many times, I don't have a problem giving you dates because I want you to ask Jesus about it. I'm not trying to be secretive or deceptive or trying to hide anything. I'm giving you dates when this angel supposed to have been appeared to these brothers, and this brother, particular brother here, is Brother Otto Fetting, March the 4th, 1927, the date that is mentioned that Jesus has sent the angel. And in this second message, we're going to look at some things that he said. And one of the first things he said in this second message, and let us know, and once again, angels of God come by the appointment of the Lord Jesus. They don't come on our appointment. We got to keep that in mind. Angels of God are not on man's timetable. They're not on mine, yours, or anybody else's timetable. Just because you pray that you want to see an angel doesn't mean that the angel always going to show up whenever you, because you prayed and asked for it. Okay. The angels of the Lord come on the appointed time of the Lord. When Jesus go and carry this message, they go then and carry the message. Other than that, they do not come on man's time. They come on the appointed time of the Lord. And they are authorized by God to say they are authorized to say. Nothing more, nothing less. Okay? And this angel messenger, the Elijah, in coming March the 4th, 1927, one of the things that he let us know is his name and who he is. His name and who he is. And I'm going to read in the first verse. He said, I am the man sent from God, and my name is John. Now, let's stop it there. The angel who brought this message to Brother Fetting to give the day that will be of the bride says that he is the man sent from God, and his name is John. Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus, on it. So let us look for proof on this. Amen. Let's look up and see. Thank you, Jesus. Whether this is so, that thus the word of God mentioned such a one who was sent from the Lord, whose name was John. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 1 in the Bible. The book of John, chapter 1 in the Bible. Look at our second witness. Amen. The book of John, chapter 1. So this angel says that his name is John, and that he was sent from God. And so the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, verse 6 being the key verse, the word of God said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Interesting. So here we know that this John, spoken of here in John chapter 1, is John the Baptist. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. John chapter 1. So this angel says he's John the Baptist, the man sent from God. John the Baptist. Amen. Hallelujah. So what we also see in the message that this angel is saying that he is sent from God, that is John, and get this, by him being an angel, he's being sent as a resurrected being, as an angel of the Lord. So here, the word of the Lord is saying and testifies, the angel saying that he is John the Baptist resurrected, coming here again as an angel of the Lord. So we're going to look, continue, at witnesses to see, does any more witnesses support John coming back as an angel being sent from God? Well, we see John chapter 1, verse 6, that the word of God let us know that John was the man sent from God. Because here, now, some of you are going to look at this, other sent from God, yes. But let you know, why does the word sing about John? Work to do for it to single him out like that. Amen. Here John witnessed that John the Baptist was a man sent from God. Amen. Now let's look at another witness on that. Now he's sent from God to come in these last days as an angel of the Lord. We're going to look at that. Now let's go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at another witness, which is another angel of the Lord, whose name is Gabriel. Gabriel is going to witness to us that John was a man sent from God. Okay? Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. We thank God for the word of God. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to look at starting at verse 13. Remember Zacharias, who was the earthly father of John the Baptist, and his wife had prayed at some time ago. Elizabeth was barren and could have no children. Now, their answer to their prayer has now been given through the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel said in verse 13, as he appeared unto Zacharias, he said, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit of the power of Elijah, turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Now here, Gabriel is witnessing that John is the man sent from God. Why? Because look at how the whole thing went down. God's answer to their prayers, "Oh yeah, you're going to have a son. And his name will be John." See, God didn't even let the parents name the child. They go to show you the particular purpose that God had for this man, John the Baptist. That to the point that God named the child himself. He did not leave room for the parents to name the child. And then he had Gabriel to tell him somewhat of the work that he was to do for the Lord. So that lets you know primarily he was sent from the Lord to do a particular work and a particular task. Amen. Glory to the living God. See, God used angel Gabriel to tell of the purpose and assignment that John the Baptist had on this earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the living God. Hallelujah. And here, this angel who has been bringing this message from the Lord Jesus says, he is John the Baptist, and he's letting us know he's John the Baptist, a resurrected being, coming back as an angel. Okay? Now, some of you say, okay, well, you showed that these witnesses that John was a man sent from God, but where does the scripture tell us that he is able to come back as an angel, a resurrected being, an angel of the Lord? Okay, let's look at some witnesses on this subject here. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. The book of Matthew, chapter 27. Thank God. The word of God. We're going to let Matthew witness to you that this is so. That John the Baptist is able. It is true that he can come back as a resurrected being of the Lord. Amen. We're going to let Matthew witness to you of such a thing. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 27. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to look at, starting here at verse 50, and we're going to go to verse 53. Now, Jesus, in verse 50, as he was hanging on the cross, the Bible says he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. He died. And behold, the vein of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were open. Now, I need you to tune in to verse 52 and 53, because this is important to show us that John the Baptist did become a resurrected being, an angel of the Lord. Okay? Verse 52 said, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now, notice that it said, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now, I looked up the word saints in the concordance to see what was the original Greek word there. That when King James translated, he said our English word that will fit this Greek word will be saints. What is called saints here in this verse in the Greek? Well, I look up the Greek word, and the Greek word was hagios. Hagios. Hagios means sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, or religious, ceremonially consecrated, mostly holy thing, saints. Now, here's the question. Was John consecrated unto the Lord to be called a saint? Amen. Was he consecrated? Hallelujah. Because this is what a saint is here in the original Greek. Once again, it is one that is sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, or religious, ceremonially consecrated. Well, does John fit the bill? Because if he fit the bill, then he was one of the saints which slept arose. Well, let's go back to Luke chapter 1 and let Gabriel once again witness this unto you. Gabriel not only witnessed to you that John is the man sent from God by what? Unveiling his special or particular purpose or assignment on the earth, But also, Gabriel was letting you know that John will be a saint of God. Okay? Go back to Luke chapter 1. And look, notice again what he says in verse 15 about John. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. I don't know how much more consecrated to the Lord can you get. How much more physically or morally pure can you get? He said he would neither drink wine nor strong drink. He's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when Matthew tells us in chapter 27, verse 52, that many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now remember, at this time of this resurrection in Matthew 27, John was already dead. So notice that the Bible was clear. It said many bodies of the saints. It didn't just say many bodies of people, but specifically the saints. So according to Luke chapter 1, and some of you that have read about John the Baptist, was or was he not a saint? And the answer is yes. So when here in Matthew 27, when it said in many bodies of the saints which slept arose, that means John was one of them that arose. Do you see that? He was one of those that came out of the graves after the resurrection of Christ, went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Hallelujah. He was resurrected. He became a resurrected being, people. Because why? He was of the saints. Hallelujah. Glory. I sense the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Glory to God. So this shows here that John did become a resurrected being. Hallelujah. Now I want to throw a little something else in there before we go on to another witness on this. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. That I think that many people miss out. And what I'm about to say, some say, well, are you being insensitive to what you're about to say or what you're saying? But I want to make this clear. Notice that the Bible said, and the grave will open many bodies of the saints. Many bodies of the saints. Okay. Now, when you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you don't have to turn there. You can write it down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It tells you about the wholeness of man. He said that Paul said, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Well, why did he mention that? See, that's man in his completeness. Notice he said spirit, soul, and body. And he put it in that order for a reason. He went from greatest to least. Well, what do you mean? When he said, I pray to your whole spirit, see, that's what you really are. You are a spirit being. I know some of you, oh, he come with this off the wall. No. Remember what it says in Genesis 1. God created man in his image. What is God? John chapter 4 tells us God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So if you were created in the image of God and God is a spirit, then guess what? You're a spirit being. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, when Paul said, I pray to your whole spirit, first of all, that's the real you. You are a spirit being. Then he said soul. Soul is made of your mind, will, and your emotions. That's your soul, okay? Your mind, will, and emotions makes up the soulish realm. And then body, which is what you see, your natural body, okay? Now, this is where, when you look back at Matthew chapter 27, in verse 52, it said, and the graves were open in many bodies of the saints. Notice it didn't say many spirits of the saints. Amen? Notice it didn't say many souls of the saints. You said, well, Brother Nate, what are you getting to? Extra thing I want to throw in there. You know, we make the remark that so-and-so, that, you know, people that have died, we say, well, so-and-so just turning over in his grave. And I told him, I said, well, so-and-so is not in his grave. And then you have some people say, well, you need to go visit your mama's grave. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Mama there, you ain't. No, my mama, you know, your mama's not there. Amen. Some of you may say, well, you're being insensitive to what you're saying. No, I'm being what the Bible shows. See, when man dies, whatever condition his spirit was in, if he was saved, he gone on to paradise. If he wasn't saved, he gone to hell. He is not laying there in the grave. What you saw go in the grave was his house or his body. That's why when you go back to the grave, sometimes later you see number bones. You don't see that flesh there. That flesh turns to dust from where it was made from. Amen. Hallelujah. So here in the graves were the bodies. Wasn't the spirits or souls. It was the body. Okay. So I wanted to throw that in there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So John was one of those saints who was resurrected to become an angel of the Lord, which we're going to look at with Jesus. Amen. So this angel that's bringing the message from the Lord was authorized to tell him, he is John, he is the resurrected to become an angel of God on this day and time as the angel of the Lord. And we hear Matthew bear witness, and Matthew says, yeah, that's true. John was resurrected to become an angel of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's look at another witness on this. That's Luke chapter 20. And our other witness is Jesus. Amen? Jesus himself witnessed to you on this. Luke chapter 20. Thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 20, verse 34. Hallelujah. To verse 36. Luke chapter 20. Thank you, Jesus. See, we thank God for the word of God today. And we thank God for the witnesses of the Lord. Amen. Witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ to truth. You know, that's one thing about the Lord. He don't leave himself without witnesses. Amen. He's gonna have witnesses to whatever he do. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God for his precious word. Now, let's look at this here in Luke chapter 20. And I want you to really look at what Jesus said here. Okay. And remember, The Sadducees, who didn't believe in the resurrection, they're approaching Jesus about the resurrection. You know, the Sadducees and the Jews and the Pharisees, they always thought they can catch Jesus and cross him up. Amen? That's why I'm glad that I serve the true and living God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's the wisest and smartest you'll ever come across. Ain't nobody more smarter than him. Ain't nobody never caught him up, trip him up, or anything. And if they try to do it, they found themselves crossed up. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I serve the smartest, the most wisest, okay? Amen. And so they coming to him about the resurrection and laying this thing about this woman who had seven husbands and didn't have no children raised. And they want to know in the resurrection who she belonged to. And so in verse 34 in Luke chapter 20, the Bible said Jesus answered and said unto them, the children of the world marry and are given in marriage. But look at verse 35. Now, this is a key verse here. It says, but they which shall be accounted worthy to attain the world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 36. Neither can they die anymore, for they are, get this, equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now, he's talking about those here. Remember, they asked him about the resurrection. Those who go through the resurrection, that he said they were accounted worthy. Now, the original Greek word that was there for accounted is kataxio. Means to deem entirely deserving. So here's the question. Does John fit the bill? Was he deemed to be entirely worthy in the resurrection, hallelujah, to obtain the world, hallelujah, that place with the Lord? Yes, because why? He was a saint of God. Remember, he many bodies of the saints. So therefore, he was one of those that was accounted worthy. So in the resurrection, Jesus told you that he didn't need to die anymore in verse 36, for he was equal unto the angels of the Lord. See, that's what happened when he came through the resurrection. That's what happened when the saints of God were resurrected. They became as angels of God. You understand what I'm saying? They was resurrected, became resurrected beings. Hallelujah. Those that was accounted worthy, that was deemed entirely deserving of the world with the Lord, Jesus Christ. They're the ones that are referred to in Matthew 27 as the saints, the bodies of the saints. Look how specific the word of God was, but saints. It didn't say just many bodies of the people. If it said that, you'd been like, okay, what people are you talking about? Is it anybody, stuff like that? You're saying anybody. But see, the word of God was specific. He had Matthew to tell you specifically who rose, who resurrected, and became equal as the angels of God. Many bodies of the saints. They're the ones that who were counted worthy. Hallelujah. Deserving. Why? They carried the word that was given to them in their time. Hallelujah. Consecrated unto the Lord. Glory. So here Jesus shows us that, yes, John the Baptist became a resurrected being as an angel of the Lord. Yes, he did. But that's our other witness. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank God for his precious word. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. I sense the Holy Ghost behind that. I don't know about you, but I do. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I know that to some people, this is like mind-boggling to hear, you know, because when some people, even some people who claim to be of the Lord, to hear God do such a move like this, to send a resurrected being, John the Baptist, they go, they just look like you're talking like some like cartoons. The unbelief that shows on their faces is just mind-boggling. No, I'm not saying you run with everything people said that, well, God this, God that. No, I'm not saying that. But remember, in God's word, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And when the word of God show you so, and it can be done, then guess what? It's so, and it can be done. Amen. And what the problem that we're experiencing in the church is that we have fallen into too many areas of unbelief. We read the Bible. And when they had angelic visitations, we read the Bible as if that was back then. It couldn't be now. Amen. I'm talking about some of the same people that shout you down. You know, when it really comes down to believing that God could exercise such a power in this day and time to send a resurrected being to them, it's like they can't chew on it. They can't. Some can't accept it. But some of the same ones that talk about God can do anything. Well, I wonder what you mean about anything when you're shouting to him. Now, don't get me wrong. He's not going to do nothing contrary to his word. You know, he's not going that route. But to think that God cannot and would not send a resurrected being, especially we have declared in his word and show us that he was going to come back. John was to come back as a resurrected being, an angel of the Lord. You know, I mean, if the proof is in the pudding, it's in the pudding. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. And so we see here in the book of Matthew, St. Matthew, and the book of Luke, the witnesses of Matthew and Luke. Now, let's look at something Paul said. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to look at, we're going to start at verse 35. We're going to look at something here that Paul said. Concerning the resurrection. Amen. It showed that once again, John to be sent back as a resurrected being, an angel of the Lord. Now look at verse 35. And verse 35 said, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Verse 36 said, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Now we know that John the Baptist died because he was beheaded, right? You look in, I believe that's what, 14th chapter of Matthew, that he was beheaded. So we know he died. 37 said, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, in other words, the same body, once it died, put in the ground, the same body ain't coming back, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. Now get this, verse 40. There are celestial bodies, or in other words, heavenly bodies, and bodies terrestrial, which is earthly bodies. Now, we know when John first came, he had a terrestrial body. Amen. Verse 40 said, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. Now, verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. So when John was beheaded, his body was sown in incorruption, a soul in corruption, but it was raised in incorruption. Verse 43, it was sown in dishonor. It was raised in glory. Sown in weakness. It is raised in what? Power. Okay. It was raised in power. Hallelujah. It is sown what? A natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there's a spiritual body. So when he was first killed, his natural body was buried. But when he was raised, as we saw in Matthew 27, he was raised with a spiritual body. And remember, it told you that there are celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. So when he rose, he did not raise with a terrestrial body or the earthly body. He rose with a celestial or a heavenly body. Okay. Verse 45 said, as it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. That's what happened with John. When he was killed, natural body was buried, raised up spiritual body. The first man, in verse 47, is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, so such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Verse 49. And as we have borne, carried the image of the earthly what? Body. That's what John did when he first came. He carried the image of the earthly or the terrestrial body. Here, Paul said, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly body. That's what he did when he was resurrected. He is now bearing the image of a heavenly body, which is an angelic body. Okay? So Paul is showing you, yes, John the Baptist was resurrected with a heavenly body, an angelic body. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Amen? Well, hallelujah. We got to see this thing for what it is. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory. I sense the Spirit of the living God on this. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So Paul, and see, God used Paul to really kind of break down this process of resurrection, especially resurrection of the saints. And let her know, see, John, when he was killed, when he rose, he didn't raise with the same old body. A body that was subject to this weather here on this earth and get weak when it's not fed this food here on earth. He was not resurrected to that same type of body. And remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 20. That when they're resurrected, they can die no more. Okay? So if he was resurrected to the same terrestrial body, that means he could die again here on this earth. And that's not happening. Okay? And so for him not to be able to die again, even if he was sent here on earth, he had to have another type of body, which is a celestial or heavenly body. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory. That's what he had to have. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Olabashata. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Just the Holy Ghost just witnessing to me, you know, by his spirit. Thank you, Jesus, that this is so. John being sent back as a heavenly being. Okay. Now, let's look at another scripture. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17. Now, this witness is also Jesus, but this is Jesus witnessing to his disciples. Okay. Amen. Now, we look at Jesus witnessing to the Sadducees in Luke 20. We're going to look at Jesus witnessing to his disciples. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 17. Now, remember, Jesus is on the Mount Transfiguration. He took three of his disciples with him, sometimes on special missions. He didn't take all his disciples with him. You know, he had 12 apostles, but all 12 of them didn't go with him on what we would call special missions. But three of them did, Peter, James, and John. So now they're on the Mount Transfiguration, and they see Elijah and Moses talking with Jesus. We're told in the Bible they were talking to Jesus about his death. And so Peter and them sees this. And, you know, Jesus is telling them, tell the vision of no man till the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And then in verse 10, as we come to verse 10, it said, and disciples asked him, saying, why didn't they describe that Elijah must first come? He said, well, what triggered that question? I mean, they seen Elijah and Moses, yeah, that's what triggered it, because they had heard the scribes speaking of such a thing. But what they saw Elijah and Moses did, when, you know, I guess to them wasn't nothing spectacular, and they just wondered, you know, why did the scribe and them said it must come? Because, I mean, hey, what we looking at, nothing spectacular happened for them to keep talking about that. He came. And so, verse 11, Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Verse 13 said, then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. So Jesus gave them revelation of who the Elijah was that's supposed to come and restore all things, that it was John the Baptist, not Elijah they saw on a Mount of Transfiguration. That was Elijah the Tishbite. So you said, well, Brother Nate, how does this show that John was to come back as a resurrected being, an angel of the Lord? Well, notice that in verse 11, see, Jesus let us know that John is the Elijah. Notice that verse 11, he said, Elijah truly shall first come. Not might, not had first come. He truly shall. I believe Jesus knew perfect English. What do you think? I think so. I think he knew grammar. Perfect grammar, perfect English. If anybody know it perfectly, it's him. Amen. I don't think he made a mistake in his verb tenses. Now, he said, Elijah truly shall first come. Now, remember, we're in chapter 17. John was already killed. So why were you talking about somebody coming to do something when they're already dead? If that didn't mean they were coming back again. You understand what I'm saying? So he said, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Now, some people say, well, Brother Nate, he said in verse 12, but I say unto you that Elijah has come already. And I say to people that say that, I said, well, that's true. He did say that. I said, but what did he not say in that verse? Notice he said that Elijah has come already, and they knew him not. He did not say Elijah has come already and had restored all things. Amen? See, when John first came, he didn't come and restore all things. He brought the word of God, and that time was needed to lead the people from the old way to the new way, but he had not restored. If John, when he first came, had restored all things, then that means that what Christ did on the cross was in vain. It would have been useless. And see, nothing was going to overshadow the cross of what Christ's going to do in the resurrection and the crucifixion. So therefore, John couldn't have restored all things when he first came. He couldn't have. Amen? Hallelujah. So Jesus said he truly shall first come. Now, if he's already dead, and Jesus saying that he's going to come back and do something, that means the only way he could do that after being beheaded was to be resurrected and come back as a resurrected being or an angel of the Lord. That's the only way he could do it. Amen. Only way. Remember, he was beheaded, people. Hallelujah. It's the only way he can come back and do it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I think we got time for one more scripture. Yeah, I think we got time for one more. Let's go to Malachi chapter 4. One more witness here. Malachi is going to witness to this too. Okay. Malachi chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Verse 5. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. Look what the word of God said. He said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now, verse 6, where do you remember seeing that at? Oh, I know. If you go to Luke chapter 1, that's the same thing it said about who? John the Baptist. Who is to go before Christ in the spirit and power of Elijah. Amen. Hallelujah. So here we saw that in Matthew 17, John is called the Elijah. So he said in verse 5, "I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." That's the second coming of Christ. How is he going to be able to come before the second coming of Christ when he was already dead? Once again, the only way he could do it is as a resurrected being, as an angel of the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? He couldn't come back in that same earthly body to do it, okay? Because, see, remember in the beginning, man used to live for hundreds of years. But then, because of sin, man broke down, and that longevity of living cut down. You understand that? Hallelujah. So that's the only way that he could come back as before the great and dreadful day of the Lord is as a resurrected being, as an angel of the Lord. Amen? So we just seen these different witnesses that went with this angel who says he is John the Baptist, that he is an angel of the Lord coming here as an angel of the Lord. So we see that these witnesses that I passed before you all witnessed that, yes, John the Baptist became a resurrected being, an angel of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Thank God for his word. We're going to stop it there today. And I thank God for this opportunity he's given. I thank God for all you listening. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we thank you once again for another blessed day in the Lord. We thank you for this golden opportunity you have given. We thank you, Lord, for being able to thank you for blessing me to give glory and honor to your name and to give your message to the people. Father, I pray that you will water the seed that I've sown, that it may bring forth the increase for your glory. And Father, I lift you up and magnify you and glorify your holy name. And I want to patch on a caller here. God bless you, caller. God bless you, sister. How you doing?
I'm blessed, brother, and God bless you. I just want to call in just to thank God for you and how he blessed you and bringing forth the witness, more than one, but the witnesses that the angel's messenger is coming in this day and time, and this day and time to restore all things, because in his first coming, as you brought out in the word, that all things was not restored. I just want to say God bless you, and I stand with you, and the Lord really bless you to bring out, regarding the return of the angel's messenger. If anybody didn't get it before with the message tonight, they should have got it. And I just want to call in to say I'm standing right with you. Thank God for you.
Well, sister, I thank God for you, too. Thank God for the word of God. And like you said, sister, you know, God's protocol is to mouth two or three witnesses. And there are many witnesses who have spoken on this. And, you know, that's what we're called to do, to present the witnesses to the people and let them choose. You know, once again, we're not called to force none down people's throat or to bug them or, you know, to harass them. We give the witnesses God give to us to give to them, and then now it's up to them. You know, sister, you write about it. And, you know, I want to do the work of the Lord, because he said the blood of this generation is required at the hands of all those that profess Christ. And
amen.
So, you know, I want to get that word out, get that blood off my hands, and then leave it between them and the Lord. Amen. So, sister, I thank God for you calling in and giving that word and that and that witness to that. And, you know, we appreciate you and all of those that have been listening. And, sister, may God continue to bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Thank God for you, brother.
God bless. We thank God for Sister Anderson. Thank God for her testimonies that when she comes on the broadcast, God is really using her and blessing her in the area of the knowledge of the Word of God. We thank God for the sister and a mother in the church. And we just pray that God continue to bless her in a call and where he's been using her to even help others with the Word of God. And so once again, you know, I thank God for all of you that have been listening to the broadcast this day. This is a Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And the Lord say the same. Look for the advertisement tomorrow. Lord say the same. We will continue on from this second message. Once again, we're not running through it fast. I want you to get it. And, you know, God has dealt with me about teaching his word that you can't run through it fast. That's not what true teaching is about. It's about expounding and breaking down some things. And even though sometimes we may get some things broken down to us, we're not all the time it's going to catch it right then. But in this breaking down process, if you take it in and go before the Lord, God can deal with you in that region or area. So, praise be to God. So, once again, thank God for all of you. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you and may he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord. Give me you.